We read this morning Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, the verse that we use as our text this morning is the first verse. Let's read the whole chapter this morning of Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life, by Jesus Christ, our Lord. So far we read the holy and inspired word of God. We consider this morning just the first verse of Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we gather together for worship this morning, and as we now sit under the preaching of the gospel, we do so with joy in our hearts. Here we are again this morning, free from persecution, able publicly to gather for worship, able to sit under the voice of Jesus Christ, and what is more, in addition to that, we're able to partake of communion this morning to the strengthening of our faith. But it is this morning a joy that is mingled with sadness. Sadness on account of the fact that we had to hear as a congregation the announcement that was read prior to the congregational prayer. There is a member of this congregation who is walking impenitently in sin and has walked impenitently in sin for some time now, evidenced by the announcement that was read. The member has been worked with under silent censure, and there has been no repentance and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. And that necessitates the increasing of censure, so that this morning we heard the announcement that was read, in order that as a congregation this member might be prayed for, and as a congregation the consistory might be prayed for to be faithful and bold and wise in the exercise of Christian discipline. Beloved, this morning we have real, genuine, sincere joy, yes. But this morning we have a real, a genuine, and sincere sadness too. Because we care about not just ourselves this morning as we come to church, but we care about one another as fellow believers in the body of Christ. And to hear that announcement read hurts as a member of this body of Jesus Christ. It's in light of these circumstances that I expound to you briefly this morning Romans 5 verse 1. Romans 5 verse 1 teaches us what is the outstanding blessing of justification by faith alone. The declaration from God to our consciences, you are righteous and you are forgiven. The great blessing of that justification by faith alone is peace with God. In the beginning chapters of the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit, sets forth very clearly and powerfully the depravity of man. And the depravity of man is such that you come to Romans chapter 3, verse 20, and it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. But the book of Romans goes on, in only a couple of verses after that, to explain the wonderful gospel of free and unmerited justification by faith alone. Verse 22 of Romans chapter 3, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. And then in Romans chapter 4, that truth of justification by faith alone, apart from the works of the law, is illustrated by giving the example of the Old Testament believer, the one whom we know as the father of believers, Abraham. And then chapter 5, the beginning of which is the word therefore. On the basis of what was just explained in the previous chapters, this now is one of the great conclusions of this truth of justification by faith alone. We have peace with God. Call your attention to this passage under the theme, the blessing of justification. In the first place, let's consider that main point, peace with God. And then in the second place, we see that it is a peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. When we look at the book of Romans as a whole, sometimes we can wrongly divide the book into two sections and say that the two sections of the book of Romans are chapters 1 through 11 are doctrinal in nature, and chapters 12 through 16 are practical in nature. Now, the division of the book of Romans between chapters 1 through 11 and then 12 through 16 is not wrong. There are two clear sections to the book of Romans. But the distinction between the first part of the book of Romans and the second part of the book of Romans is not that the beginning is doctrinal and the end is practical. Rather, the end explains the response of thanks, the response of obedience to the glorious truth of justification by faith alone. That is to say, it's not that only the end is practical and the beginning is doctrinal. The opening chapters of the book of Romans are practical. They are practical because they speak to the heart, the mind, the soul, the life of the believing child of God. Theologically deep, doctrinally rich, yes. But deep theology and rich doctrine must equal, for the believer, intensely practical. And that's true of all of the beginning of Romans, and that's true especially of our text. The truth of this text, people of God, must affect us in our minds, must affect us in our hearts. It must influence us in the lives that we live today and tomorrow and in the rest of this week. This text speaks to our everyday life here on this earth as we stand before God. We have peace with God. The text addresses the relationship that matters most in our lives here on this earth. When you talk about the subject of peace, there is so much that could be said positively from the Word of God, negatively from a secular worldview about peace between nations and peace between family members and peace between husbands and wives and peace between fellow members of the church. And as important and necessary at times is it to speak of that peace, huge part of our lives here on this earth, it pales in comparison to what matters most when it comes to the subject of peace. Where it matters most is in the relationship that we have with the living God of heaven and earth. That's the burden of Romans 5, verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1 brings us to what is the most important relationship that we have in our lives, the fact that we stand before God. The text in Romans 5, 1 says we have peace with God. Now, that's a good translation of the original Greek of Romans 5, 1. And I don't want to always bring this up when there is a difference, but I do bring this up when it helps us understand a bit more precisely the meaning of the text. And that is the fact that in the original Greek of Romans 5, 1, the preposition is not most literally with God. There is a Greek preposition that translates directly into with. Now, the writers of the KJV used with because the most literal preposition that the Greek translates into is to or toward. And that's a bit awkward in the English. We have peace to God or peace toward God. But that's the most literal idea of Romans 5, verse 1. It's directional in nature. And I call your attention to that this morning because it places us squarely before the most fundamental reality of our lives here on this earth, that we in our consciences and in our lives must reckon with the reality that we stand before God. When you think in your mind, and when you look with your mind's eye, so to speak, toward God, the living, holy, righteous God of heaven and earth, what is it that you see? And the only two alternatives to what, when you think toward God, are on the one hand, you will know that God as the God with whom you are at war. Or on the other hand, you will know that God as the God with whom you are at peace. But people of God, we need to step back and see what stands behind this. And what stands behind this is the fact that every single one of us this morning has to acknowledge the fact that we stand before God. The unbelieving man or the child of God who for a time is walking impenitently in sin is deceived on that level and or willingly suppresses and attempts to escape from that reality, pushing out of the mind what is the grandest reality of all of our existence here on this earth, that there is a living God before whom we stand. But every single one of us sitting here this morning must understand you cannot escape that fact. You can be deceived into thinking you can. You can suppress that as hard as you possibly can try, but you cannot escape the reality of God. And all you have to do is think about the end, because there will be an end. And that end is the last breath on this earth and the first breath after death, when you will stand squarely before the reality of God. And as you in your conscience think toward God, the gospel that we hear declared this morning is that for the child of God who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is peace. Peace with God. Peace is to be reconciled to God. Romans 5, verse 10 says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son." For the child of God, to be reconciled to God means that you know that you were and are by nature enemies of the living God. It is to know that the guilt that I have in Adam, that's Romans 5, which we read. We were in Adam. His sin is our sin. His guilt is our guilt. That guilt for my sin in Adam and my guilt for all of my actual sins that I commit in my life here on this earth put me in a position of war against God and make me the enemy of God. And people of God, that cannot just be words that you hear right now. And that cannot be just theology that is spoken to you. That cannot be just the doctrine of total depravity. Remember what I said earlier in the sermon. Rich theology and deep doctrine equal intensely practical. This needs to resonate with us this morning. And if it doesn't resonate with us this morning, there's serious, serious problems that before God we stand, and before God we stand in Adam by nature, guilty, and that every single one of my sins that I commit before the living God make me guilty before Him. And because of that guilt, I am the rightful object of the wrath and judgment of God. That needs to be a penetrating truth in our consciences this morning. That we hear it and it enters into our mind, and the Holy Spirit takes that and He burrows that very deeply into the depths of our hearts. And that there's no escaping the reality that by nature I am a guilty sinner. And by nature at war with the living God. And it is a war in which I will not and cannot be victorious, but will be defeated. And that is why Philippians 4 verse 7 says that the peace that the child of God has is the peace that passes all understanding. The gospel this morning to us as believers is beyond our understanding because of how amazing it is. That in light of the truth that I just briefly explained, we can know as sure as we are sitting here this morning that with that God, we are at peace. It is to know and to be assured that I am not at odds with God, but I am one with God. It is to know and to be assured that He is not the one who hates me, but He is the one who loves me. It is to know and to be assured that it is not His wrath that comes upon me, but His blessing. It is to know and to be assured that when I think about God, I'm not filled with terrified fear, but filled with joy and delight. It is to know and to be assured that when I look toward God, I don't see an enemy, but I see my friend. And that is the greatest peace that anyone could ever have in their life here on this earth. The greatest sense of calm, serenity, of knowing that in the relationship that matters most, my standing before the living God of heaven and earth, I have peace. That peace with God is only through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, through which faith God justifies us, the fruit of which is the knowledge and the experience of this peace with God. Everything else in the text gets at this main idea. Romans 5 begins, therefore. So on the basis of what was just explained, and then it says being justified by faith, and that's really a summarizing statement of what came before. And the end, after the peace with God, says through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all tied together very simply because it is through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ that we are justified. Being justified by that faith in Christ, we have peace with God. The emphasis to us this morning is that this is the only way of peace for any man and for any woman for any young person in their lives here on this earth. You see, unbelieving man and the child of God who for a time may be walking impenitently in sin is deceived on or willfully suppresses two fundamental truths. The one I mentioned already. I stand before God and I stand before God as a guilty sinner worthy of death. The second one, which really flows out of the first one, is that I can find peace outside of God. There are many ways to think about what sin is. The Bible explains and describes sin in a multitude of different ways. One of the most helpful ways to think about what sin is that sin is but my attempt to find peace in my life here on this earth. So that when I'm driven to drink alcohol in excess, that is only an attempt to find a sense of relief for my life here on this earth. When I'm driven to the drugs, it's only an attempt to escape and feel a sense of calm for a period of time. When I'm driven to all of the entertainment of this world, the movies and the music, it is but an attempt to escape and find some other alternate reality for a little time. When I indulge in sexual immorality, in the moment of the pleasure, I don't think about anything else, especially that grand reality of which I've been speaking. When I stare endlessly into a screen to watch sports or to shop or to go on social media, time and time and time again, it's like my world is this big and I can just escape everything for a time. It's all an attempt, so to speak, to find a sense of peace. Now, to what I just explained there, there are two responses. The response of the believer and the response of the unbeliever, or the response for a time of one who walks impenitently in sin. For the believer, when you hear what I just said a moment ago, your response to that is, I know that's true of me at times. And every single one of us this morning has to acknowledge that fact. There are times when we don't reckon with the reality that we stand before God. There are times when we turn to this, or we turn to that, or we turn to this other thing, and it's an attempt to escape and find peace. But the believer says this, it's all futile. It's all vain. It may give the semblance of peace, but it's for the briefest moments of time. And I know that if I were to pursue that in my life, I would never have peace. My only peace is to turn from that, turn to Christ, and find it in my God. That's what our response needs to be when you hear that. It's not, well, that's someone over there, but no, I see that in myself. The unbeliever, or one who walks impenitently in sin for a time, hears that and says, I don't want anything to do with it. And I'm going to keep going down these paths of sin, and I'm going to keep telling myself that this is the way in which I find peace in my life here on this earth. There is no Isaiah chapter 40, 8, verse 22 says, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. And for that one over there, they must know that if there is no turning with a living faith to Jesus Christ, if there is no true repentance from sin and turning to God, there is a judgment that will come. There is a death that will occur. There is an end in which it will be utter suffering into all eternity. But that's not the amen of the sermon, right there. The amen of the sermon comes after now this. Hear this morning the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace that says the only way with peace with God is not by turning to the works that I do. The gospel of peace that says the only way of peace in my heart and mind is not turning to the things of this earth and sin, but the gospel of peace that says this is true peace, knowing that before God, I am righteous, forgiven, and the object of the greatest blessing of salvation and heaven and the new heaven and new earth to come. That's peace. To know the sins that I am guilty of have been atoned for. To know that the guilt that is mine by nature is really the sentence of righteous. To know that I am clothed with not the black robes of sin, but that I am clothed with the white robes of righteousness. To know that when I face my death, I have an eternal heaven awaiting me where I will be with Jesus Christ. To know that because those things are true, I can go through anything else in my life and know all is well. All is well now, all is well tomorrow, all is well upon death, all is well in the life to come. And that's through faith in Jesus. Jesus atoned by his broken body and shed blood for the sins of his people. Jesus perfectly fulfilled the entirety of God's law. Jesus merited the righteousness of every one of his children. Jesus ascended into heaven and pours out his Spirit upon the church and works that Spirit into the hearts of his children. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In Jesus, there is hope, and in Jesus, there is peace. And so, beloved, this morning, number one, we reckon with the reality we stand before God. Number two, we do so knowing in and ourselves we are guilty and damn worthy sinners. But number three, hear the gospel of peace. Turn from your sin. Turn to Jesus Christ as he is revealed in the Scriptures. And believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is to say, I know my own works only damn me to hell. And I look away from those, and I look to Jesus, and I trust that in him there is hope, in him there is life, in him there is forgiveness. And you believe in Jesus this morning. You hear the declaration from God in the preaching of the gospel. You are righteous. You are forgiven. You are the object of the blessing of God when you look toward God. You don't see an enemy with whom you are at war. You see a friend whose shining countenance comes down upon you. And this morning, with believing hearts, we partake of communion. And we partake of communion believing that God will strengthen that faith, and believing, therefore, that we will today and all of our life long receive the blessing of justification, peace with God. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for thy word, and may thy spirit work through thy word as it was preached this morning. And may it have prepared us to partake of communion. And now, as we begin that part of our service, we pray, strengthen our faith in Christ and give us that blessed gift of peace with thee. In Jesus' name, amen.